High School 2020, a challenging semester. Usually this time of year, students all over Maine are counting up the snow days and figuring out the last day of school. Of course, this year, students haven't had a class in their school buildings since March. They're preparing for virtual exams or no exams at all. Proms have been canceled, graduation ceremonies moved online or to the local drive-in. It has been a bizarre and unsettling semester for students and their families. How are they doing? What does this mean for their future? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will hear from high school students, teachers, and Maine's Commissioner of Education. And we'll find out what might be in store for Maine schools in the fall. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. High school students across Maine are having a strange end to their school year, missing rituals including prom and graduation, taking final exams from home, skipping spring sports, and feeling anxious and isolated. We'll learn about the unique challenges these teens are facing and what it means for their future. Joining me for the hour, Adam Leach, who is Director of Guidance and also a teacher with the Bangor High School, and Raina Poulin, a junior at Monmouth Academy, who is a member of the Maine Department of Education Student Council. Welcome to both of you today.
Thank you.
And as always, we want to hear from you. Do you have a high school student at home? How are they faring? Do you think the pandemic will have lasting effects on these young people, either positive or negative? Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Adam, I'll start with you. And now we're past the point that those early days of scrambling to figure out how this was going to work. I know teachers and students figuring out the technology, the whole rhythm of the online classroom. Now that we're sort of 2 months in, tell us how it's going and what have you learned?
We've learned quite a bit, you know. Certainly in the early days, it was changing our plans on the fly, you know, right in the middle of the school year, trying to reinvent the way we were going to deliver curriculum. But now, really, what's happened is teachers have really concentrated on trying to maintain personal connections with students, so that we know that their health, their well-being, is well taken care of, and trying to make some continuity into the summer, and then also planning for next year for whatever might come down the road in the next few weeks.
You mentioned this, you know, looking out for the students' well-being. As head of guidance, I'm sure much of what you're doing in a usual year is face-to-face, being in the hallway, having quick chats with students. How are you assessing the needs of students and how they're doing remotely?
Well, it's a really big challenge, and we really rely upon a team approach. The teachers are the front line. They are the ones that are communicating with students on an almost daily basis. They are the ones that can give us a red flag if a student has disengaged or isn't turning work in, or they haven't heard from a little while. But we've done several different things. We've tried office hours, where we have an open Zoom meeting and students can log in and ask their questions and know that we'll have a consistent time. Many families have multiple children that are all trying to compete for their bandwidth or their computer time. So trying to figure out a schedule where the timing will work for students. So that's been one of the biggest things that we've done is just try to stay connected that way. The email inbox has certainly been flooded, and the Zoom meetings and all of those sorts of things. Just trying to stay connected and trying to maintain some semblance of that one-on-one relationship.
And before I go to Raina, I want to ask you, how do you think students are doing, Adam?
I think students are doing extremely well. People are they're all very resilient, and you know, it's not what we want. It's not what they want. I think that in a little bit of this is that students have come to really appreciate what school was in the normal sense, when the social piece of it has been kind of taken away. So I've seen lots of students really reaching out and making the effort to make the connections, I think they are handling it by and large pretty well.
Raina, I want to turn to you. How are you and your classmates doing?
I think it's kind of different for every student. I think a lot of us are kind of accepting that this is how our lives are going to be for a little while, and that we may not get a normal start to next school year, and we certainly didn't get a normal end to this one. But I think with that being said, through this whole situation, I think it started off, everyone was very negative. It was a very bad time for a lot of us because everything that people really enjoyed about school was kind of gone, and then school was gone. And now I think people have kind of come to terms with it. So I think students are doing okay overall, but I definitely think it's a challenging time.
All right. And I want to issue a quick correction. You're not part of the Department of Education's council. You're part of the cabinet. So I'm sorry for that mistake. As far as academically, what are some of the biggest challenges having to learn remotely?
There are definitely a lot of challenges that come with learning remotely, especially in classes that are more hands-on. Like, we have an engineering class at our school, and I don't take it, but I do imagine that that's probably really hard. Art classes, things like that, are really difficult to continue virtually. And then just with regular curriculum, teachers have had a lot on their plate trying to adapt what they've kind of created for the classroom to make it all digital. And I think a lot of students are struggling with that transition, especially students that kind of rely on being in class to learn.
Mm-hmm. You're a junior. That means that right now, in a regular year, you would have completed some things like SAT tests and college visits if you're college bound. What are you doing this semester instead?
So instead of taking the SAT, we were supposed to take that in April. We are talking about fall administration. Instead of college visits, kind of a lot of us are just looking online, seeing what we can find about different schools and trying to meet with our guidance counselor virtually to figure out what our plan will be for next year. We're all kind of hoping that we'll be able to visit colleges in the summer, but instead of focusing on that, a lot of us are doing things like online AP exams and trying to finish our classes so that we can kind of be prepared for next school year as best we can.
Adam, I want to talk about social, emotional aspects of this. As a guidance counselor, you know a lot about teenagers and their emotional well-being, and also the fact that, you know, this is already sort of passions are felt strongly. There's a lot going on for teenagers. Have you been surprised at all at the way that young people have responded to this pandemic?
I didn't really know what to expect, so I guess I can't say that I didn't expect it. It is a very normally emotional time, especially for graduates. So a lot of the things that are going on, when from students hearing about their acceptances to colleges, planning out their summer works, planning out what they're going to do in the fall, so much of that is so emotionally driven. And then with the pandemic, that is also a very emotionally heightening thing. It really tests our patience. It really tests our focus. And so, some of the struggles have come around that. I think a large part of it has been not knowing what's coming next, and hearing so many mixed messages and predictions and things like that that just kind of stir the emotion a little bit. And so we've really kind of focused on the idea of helping people to be patient and to keep as many options open as possible. People have been considering things like, taking gap years and altering their plans for their fall. But really what we are wanting students to do right now is to not abandon plans, not really alter plans too much, but to try to keep all options open and know that some adjustment is going to be needed. So flexibility is really important as well. I really do feel for students that are juniors, because the juniors are in such an important exploration phase. And so there's a lot of disappointment and struggle over not being able to take those trips to colleges. And what I found, I think, though, on a social-emotional side is that I think if they're able to talk it through, have somebody hear their concerns and let them voice their concerns and then be able to, pull some of that emotional stuff out and really focus on the core things that they need to do in their decision making.
Mm-hmm. Raina, I'm wondering if there's any sense of, how would I put this, camaraderie? Any sense of juniors and seniors this year that this is who we are and this is who we're going to be throughout our lives?
Yeah, there's definitely kind of that sense, especially with the seniors. They are going through a lot right now, and our school is very traditional. We have a ton of traditions for seniors that they're not going to get to be a part of at all, or they're going to be extremely different from what it would normally be. And I think as juniors, watching our friends kind of go through that, there is kind of a sense of this is always going to be what their senior year was. And I think it's really sad for them, but at the same time, I think there will be kind of a solidarity among them that this was a struggle that they all had to go through together. And I think it'll end up all being okay in the end, but I do think it's extremely sad for them, but I think they'll find solidarity in it.
Adam, at your school and at other schools, do you know, are there extra counseling services available to students who are feeling especially anxious? And if so, how are those happening?
Oh, yes. So, of course, we have our guidance team. We have 5 guidance counselors at Bangor High School. We also have a social worker. And we have worked through many other services throughout the community, that are focused on specific issues of mental health. That we usually provide connections to the students for if we see a risk or anything like that. But really it has been a reliance upon that many levels of the team approach, the teachers on the front line seeing and hearing from the students on a daily basis, reporting to us. We can do that next level check, and then whenever we need it. And this is something that would happen under normal circumstances as well, to tap into community resources, counseling services, mental health professionals to see if anything needs to go beyond the school and what we can provide.
I'm wondering too, Raina, if there's a sort of a nationwide feeling of solidarity among students your age. I mean, I know that all over social media, there are all sorts of YouTube videos, TikToks, all sorts of things going viral during this time. Does it help at all to sort of have a sense that, from California to Michigan to Florida, there are kids sharing their experiences that you can relate to?
I think that does. It kind of does help. It's something that kind of only our age group, a very specific group of people, is dealing with in such a specific way. No class has really gone through this. No, generation has kind of lived through something this severe at this particular time in their lives. And I think knowing that everyone else in the United States is going through it and seeing things on social media, I think it does kind of help build that feeling of camaraderie and solidarity. And it doesn't make it any easier, but I would say it helps kind of make you feel like later on you'll feel like this was something important that happened in your life.
Okay. Adam, any advice for parents who have high school students at home and are finishing up their classes and going to a summer where there may not even be summer jobs available and not even sure when or how they'll return to school in the fall?
Yeah, actually, yesterday I did a meeting on YouTube Live with parents, and you know, that was one of those things where, you know, I don't have webinar software and things like that to use, so kind of inventing things on the fly. But I was able to connect with about 40 families last night, and basically I told them it really boils down to six general decision-making things, and that is: be practical, ask a lot of questions of the right people, be patient, be flexible, stay positive, and work together. You know, young ladies and gentlemen like Raina are young adults, and they have to take a lot of the responsibility of decision-making for their future. But also parents are valuable in the decision-making process. So families that work together are going to find solutions to their individual problems, and we'll be able to work through this. I really like to focus on the staying positive, because even in a crisis, there are silver linings, and looking for what you have learned through this process. I think this generation is going to, as a result of this, be more resilient, and a lot of the struggles that a typical college freshman might have, I think this group of young people is probably going to look at future struggles as relatively minor, because they're living through and solving problems that are very adult and very grown up. And, you know, I think that might be the lasting positive that we find in that. But families are so critically important in that decision-making.
And so some perspective that they're going to have that maybe other 18-year-olds in times past have not had.
Right.
Do you feel that? Do you feel that, Raina?
I definitely feel that. I feel like when I'm older and when I'm a parent and all these things, I feel like it'll definitely be very different, because this is a situation that, like I mentioned before, almost no generation has lived through anything like this. And I think we will come out of it kind of more resilient. And I think, as Adam was saying, that later on problems in our lives won't seem as severe because we're living through something extremely severe right now.
Well, we're talking about high school students in this time of pandemic, when classes are online and summer jobs are hard to find. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. When we come back, even more calls from students and also the Commissioner of the Department of Education. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Subaru in Auburn. Open for sales and service and committed to enhanced safety modifications. Learn more at evergreensubaru.com. Encore Renewable Energy, committed to fueling Maine's economic recovery with solar energy for businesses and institutions. Encore.eco. And St. Mary's Health System Orthopedics, helping patients live their best lives in motion. Online at findabonedoctorme.org.
Scientists say the U.S. has been relying on a badly flawed approach to estimate how deadly the coronavirus is.
It doesn't capture the vast number of people out there that might also be infected, but not seeking medical care.
I'm Elsa Chang. How a new type of test is answering questions about the death rate. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And that's coming up later today from 4 to 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio. The Maine Department of Education, Educate Maine, and Maine Public have all joined forces to create original educational programming for grade school students in grades 3, 4, and 5 that are being broadcast all around the state on Maine Public Television. Dedicated teachers from across the state of Maine have developed original video lessons, pulling content from their own lesson plans and sources to provide exceptional learning opportunities for Maine students that are free. These daily learning space plans air on Maine Public Television weekday afternoons between noon and 1. All the lessons are archived online at mainepublic.org under the Education dropdown.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about the pandemic's impact on high school students. Our guests are Raina Poulin, who's a junior at Monmouth Academy, and she's on the Maine Department of Education. The cabinet, student cabinet. And then Adam Leach, Director of Guidance for the Bangor Schools. We invite you to be part of the conversation. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now, Siri Pierce, who is a senior at Casco Bay High School in Portland. Thanks for calling in, Siri.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're a senior, so you're missing things. There's been a lot in the newspapers. We've all thought about graduations and proms. How are you doing with all that?
Yeah, it's definitely been a disappointing time, but it's also been really incredible to see how our community has come around to support us. Our teachers and parents have been working really hard to make us feel special, and so I think it's kind of exciting that we get to rethink and reinvent some of the traditions which have existed for so long, and it'll definitely be a unique way to end high school, and I'm so incredibly grateful for all the people who are trying to make it feel special in this time.
I understand at your school there's a special program where all the seniors share their thoughts. Tell us about that and what you've got planned for this year.
Yeah, so we have a tradition called Final Word, which is normally when we're all gathered in what we call at our school the Great Space, which is where we have all our school assemblies. And every senior delivers a 3-minute speech to their class reflecting on the past 4 years. And then a chosen peer and teacher give a tribute, honoring them and talking about who they are and their past 4 years. So it's a really special tradition. And we learn things about each other that even after 4 years of being together, we might not have necessarily known or taken the time to learn about. So this year, we're not in person, but we're holding it over Zoom, and it's been a really powerful way to get closure and hear how all of my peers have been affected by this pandemic. So it's definitely not a normal final word, but it feels so much more important in this time to come together and hear each other's voices.
And when is that?
It's been happening for the past 2 weeks, so we have a morning session and an afternoon session.
Oh, neat.
Which is actually happening right now, yeah.
Oh, so I'm sorry you're missing that. Just really quickly before I let you go, tell me how this affects you in terms of getting ready for college. Are you still getting ready in the way that you think you would have been?
It's definitely been hard to have a lot of what ifs. I've been anxiously reading all of the emails that I've gotten from my school about plans for opening in the fall, but I know some of my friends have already received news that their schools are closing. Some of my friends have chosen to take gap years instead of going to school and trying to work and find other alternatives to paying for online school. So I think it's definitely been challenging and for a lot of seniors to figure out what their plans for next year are going to be. I applied early decision, so I knew in December where I was going and where I was committed. So now it's just waiting to see what the school decides.
Well, Siri, I appreciate you taking the time. That was Siri Pierce, a senior at Casco Bay High School, and good luck to you. And I want to turn to you right now, Adam, and ask you about something that Siri said. So many high school seniors right now considering taking gap years next year and maybe starting college the year after. What does that mean for Raina's class, for people who are juniors now?
Yeah, I go back to the idea of keeping as many options open as possible. I think high school juniors should still pursue their college plans as though nothing has changed. Mostly because we don't know what it's going to be like in a year. And it would be a shame to give up on some dreams or some plans because of the current condition. I think students should still be looking, down the road 5 or 6 years and still ask themselves, where do I want to be after college? Really, that is what the driving decision is for going to college. So I think they should continue with their decision making and their planning, and so that they still have that, what we would call their normal plan or their normal track or their plan A, but also be prepared to make some alterations if necessary. You know, a gap year is not a bad idea, but remember that a gap year is not just taking time off. Something has to fill the void. Typical gap years are spent traveling or getting jobs, and both of those things may prove equally as difficult as just going ahead and attending college. So I ask students to be very careful and think a lot about what they are going to do and not what they're not going to do. So they should still plan ahead as normal, but know that those plans might have to change a little bit.
All right. Well, we are on the line now with Pender Macon, who is the Commissioner of Maine's Department of Education. Commissioner, thanks so much for calling in today.
Hi, my pleasure.
You've made some difficult decisions about school closings and managing remote learning. How do you think high school students are handling all the changes?
Wow. Well, I'm in awe of how high school kids are finding the gems, and they are incredibly resilient, and they are certainly suffering a lot of losses. But I think they provide for all of us a window of hope for the future, given their quick abilities to switch modalities and to, be engaged in contingency planning and, to really be taking careful health and safety steps on behalf of many of the older members of our state. So I think I'm very much hopeful for the future and in awe of how the kids are doing.
Commissioner Macon, what's next? Do we have any idea what Maine's schools, public schools, will be doing come fall?
Well, we will be offering a wonderful public education in the fall, and we hope that it will be in person, in group settings, because that is really the optimal way for kids to have the full experience of our public education system. And we are planning multiple ways to safeguard and protect the health and safety of everybody involved in the event that we are able to be back in person. That said, we're working with a lot of stakeholders. We are a large group, in fact, meeting this afternoon to vet multiple contingency plans. So it's possible that we will have some students back and some teachers and staff, and others maybe would still be remote. And then there's the possibility that we'd all be still remote. And there's even the possibility that we get back in person, get going for a while, and then have to resort again to remote learning. And so for all of those potential eventualities, we are planning to be ready and to respond, I guess, in such a way that we are able to provide the very best educational opportunities for kids.
All right. Just last night, the Portland Board of Public Education approved its budget, which is going to call for some cuts, some tough decisions. Do you expect those kind of tough decisions to happen in school districts throughout the state?
I really hope not. And I also recognize that we are living in a reality where people have there's tremendous concern around potential lost revenues, and individuals are strapped. Communities are facing extremely difficult financial times. And yet, as we look at the CDC guidelines for returning to in-person instruction, there's going to be a cost associated with those above and beyond the regular cost of our education. So it's very concerning.
Commissioner Macon, before we let you go, when will these decisions be made? Do you have a timetable for when you need to get word out to teachers and students and those doing hiring about what the fall might look like?
Right. Well, so the timeline is we are continuing to plan. And unfortunately, due to the dynamic, unpredictable nature of this virus and not having the opportunity of having anyone ever faced it before, it's almost impossible to predict. Therefore, we are going to be as planned up as we can be to be responsive and flexible and nimble in our ability to provide what we need to provide given the conditions. And we're hopeful, certainly, that expanded testing and contact tracing, those will be game changers when it comes to our education system's capacity for providing a safe, healthy environment for educators and for students. And so when we would make up, I think these decisions are going to be made in real time without a lot of lead time in between, because every day reveals a brand new set of information, and we want to be as informed as possible. And it wouldn't be prudent for us to jump the gun in any direction right now. So therefore, we have to be ready for all of it. Every combination. Yeah.
Well, Pender Macon, thank you so much for calling in. Pender Macon is Commissioner of the Maine Department of Education. We're going to go to a caller now, Patricia from St. George. Hi, Patricia. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Wonderful program. I always enjoy your program. So I'm 64 years old. I loved high school. It was fun. But I'm old enough to remember the stories of the Great Depression and World War II from my parents and grandparents. And my grandfather totally lost his whole family to the Spanish flu. We're very blessed in this country that they can continue their education remotely. And I know it's very hard not to have proms and graduation, but I think we need to look at reality more in this country and not feel so entitled. At one time, we lived in Sheridan, and we went hiking up a mountain through the woods, and we found a cemetery from many, many children and people that died in the Spanish flu, and my boys were just stunned. And we also took them on a mission trip to Mexico where people lived in cardboard and tin huts. I think we need to remember that even though we lived in a very privileged country, there's a lot worse things.
Patricia, I very much appreciate your sentiment, but Adam, I'm going to turn to you because even though it is very important to understand that many people have things much worse, and throughout history, people have had things much worse. It is also very important, isn't it, to acknowledge the grief that high school students may be feeling right now and not to diminish it.
Well, I think that's true. You know, every individual person has their own sense of reality and, you know, in terms of what affects them. And, you know, the callers, actually, I know the exact spot that the caller is talking about. I know the mountain in Sheridan and the cemetery she's talking about. So I'm very familiar with that sense of understanding the past. I would encourage a lot of the young people today experiencing a lot of difficulty, and it's very real difficulty, and you're right. It needs to be acknowledged because it's their difficulties. But I would love to see young people reach out to people of older generations and ask for their advice. How did you get through some of the difficulties that you went through in your time? Because there's some overlap. There's something to be learned there. And I think really what the caller is saying is ask us. Ask us, you know, what it was like for us and seek out that response, seek out that support. I think that a multi-generational approach to a contemporary problem is always a good way to go. Just like I was saying, leaning on your parents for support in the decisions that you have to go through. But, you know, we're all in this together. Commissioner Macon made a very good point about the contributions that students are making right now. I mean, they're giving up so much to protect older generations, people that might be more vulnerable to this virus. So we have to depend upon each other, and that resilience is something that I do see coming out in students. And also, students should not be they should not be afraid to talk about the things that are upsetting or disappointing. So I think you know, that's how you can have your needs addressed. I guess I would kind of agree and disagree, right? I think it's the working together that makes things come out positive.
Well, Patricia, thank you for your call. We are going to take another quick break. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number 1-800-399-3566. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from the Finance Authority of Maine, offering financial resources to help Maine families and businesses during these unprecedented challenges. FameMaine.com. Evergreen Home Performance, a locally owned energy efficiency company, grateful for and proud to support Maine Public Radio. More at evergreenyourhome.com. And Maine Community Foundation, working with donors to expedite funding to nonprofits in this unprecedented time. Learn more at mainecf.org. On This Day in Maine's History is brought to you in partnership with the Maine Historical Society.
Television journalist Cynthia McFadden was born in Lewiston on May 27, 1956. She is currently the senior legal and investigative correspondent for NBC News. McFadden graduated Phi Beta Kappa and summa cum laude from Bowdoin College. She received her law degree from Columbia University. McFadden has been highly recognized for her work, as evidenced by a host of awards and nominations, including receiving a George Foster Peabody Award, a Blue Ribbon of the American Film Festival, and being nominated for an Emmy Award.
On This Day in Maine's History is made possible through the generous support of Bernstein Scher and Maine Masons, celebrating their bicentennial in Maine. Happy birthday, Maine! The Daily Maine CDC briefing on the coronavirus is scheduled to take place at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Governor Mills is expected to join Dr. Shaw at today's briefing. Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page will all bring it to you live. In addition, each day's address is archived at MainePublic.org. For later on-demand viewing or listening, just choose the television drop-down. Again, Maine's CDC briefing with Dr. Shaw and Governor Mills at 2 o'clock this afternoon and carried here on Maine Public Radio, as well as Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We're talking today about challenges that Maine high school students are facing due to the pandemic. My guests, Adam Leach with Bangor High School and Raina Poulin from Monmouth Academy. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Calling in now, Brady Winslow, a junior at Gray New Gloucester High School. Brady, thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, of course, no problem. How are you doing, Jennifer?
Great. How many days do you have left in the school year?
Oh, I'm not entirely sure. It's kind of hard to keep track at this point. emails, I probably think like a week and a half or so, maybe 2 weeks.
Okay, so how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. The whole changing in the pandemic at the beginning was kind of weird, but now that we're doing Zoom and everything on the laptops that are provided by the school and the state and everything, it's gotten pretty easy because really okay. It just takes a little bit to get the work done.
I know that Zoom drives a bunch of adults crazy. How about students? Because you all are more used to technology, is it less exhausting for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, since a young age, we've been pretty tech savvy. You know, we've all been given all of these things like phones and laptops, so we pretty much know how to work them.
Okay. Tell me about your classmates. Is this good attitude throughout your class, or is it sort of your personality?
The class I'm in is pretty good. The people there are really good people. Pretty much the whole school has pretty good people in it, but even the seniors have been really positive about the situation. Like, the juniors are lucky enough that it came a year before without our graduation and everything. But with their graduation, they're still showing really positive activity.
And as a junior, what does it mean for you and your future plans? I'm guessing you didn't take the SAT this spring because it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, we didn't get a chance to take that, but I'm sure we're probably going to get it done around senior year. I'm not entirely sure with the plans yet, but I'm sure it'll work itself out.
Well, Brady, thanks so much for calling in today. Brady Winslow, a junior at Gray New Gloucester High School. So nice to hear the voices of young people. We're going to go to Olivia calling from Gorham. Hi, Olivia. Go ahead.
Hi. It's great to be on.
It's great to hear your voice. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I just wanted to kind of mention, so I was a senior last year, and I ended up taking a gap year before college. So I just wanted to speak to that point for any seniors who are considering it. I think there was a point mentioned earlier that gap years are usually filled with travel or jobs, and though that is mostly the case for myself, I used it for more mental reflection and also for mental health focused wise. So I think for a lot of seniors, you know, who might, you know, this transition is kind of a big shock and maybe they don't feel like jumping right into college because it might be affected online school or whatnot. I think it can still be a really great tool for some people. And, you know, I think, you know, if that's helpful, that would be, you know, a really great option just because the time is unprecedented, really.
Olivia, let me ask you how you decided to do a gap year. Was this something you'd kind of planned for a long time, or did you make the decision the last minute?
This was something I had not planned. My senior year ended up being very difficult for me mentally, and I really had to take a step back. And when I was looking at the prospect of college, I just was starting to really freak out, feeling like I wasn't ready. And then when I went to the college I ended up applying to and getting accepted in, and then talked to a student there who had taken a gap year and just said that it was the best thing that they could have done, just for the, like, if you feel like you need to take a gap year, you probably should take a gap year, and it's totally fine. I was always afraid about being behind, but it turns out that a lot of kids actually do it, and you're not going to be as far behind as you think. I'll be turning 20 my freshman year in college, and you know, in high school sometimes ages, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm like 16 or I'm like old for my age or young. In college that kind of goes away. So I think for anyone feeling they're going to be behind, you're definitely not.
Are you feeling anxious at all now that you've taken your gap year about whether you're going to actually get to go to college in the fall?
Definitely, a little bit. I definitely don't want to take another gap year. I'm very ready for college now. I definitely feel like I'm just going to kind of have to roll with what's going to happen in the world. I know my school, which is College of the Atlantic in Bar Harbor, Maine, is working really hard to try to open up, and they really want to have kids on campus in the fall, even if there's a lot of social distancing or other protocols, and I know that other small colleges in Maine are doing the same thing. But regardless, if that means I have to stay home and take online classes, like, I'm prepping myself for that. But yeah, we'll see.
All right. Well, Olivia, thanks so much for calling in. Olivia, a former Maine Calling intern, it's great to hear from you and great to hear that you're doing so well. We're going to go to Christina calling from Cherryfield. Hi, Christina. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for creating space for me. I work with Maine Seacoast Mission based in Bar Harbor and Cherryfield. And I have to say, I was profoundly struck by the wisdom of what Raina shared earlier in the show in terms of this particular moment in history being experienced by this particular group of students where they are in their developmental journeys. I think that was a really powerful insight on her part. And at the mission, we've been trying with all of our students and also with the communities we serve to gather the stories, to gather photographs, to really honor the presence that each student, each family member is living. And I'm curious, and we're doing that in small ways, I'm curious if there are any initiatives along those lines at the local level or even statewide to say there is truly something about this experience that, that if gathered, can embolden us and can unite us, whether we come from Cherryfield or Bar Harbor or Saco or Machias, no matter our socioeconomic background or our cultural identity. And so I'd love to hear, and I'll take it offline, I'd love to hear if others are trying to document and gather the stories of this time. Thank you so much.
Christina, thank you. Adam, do you happen to know the answer?
I wish I did. That sounds like a fabulous idea. I think that, you know, this will be a story that will want to be told for generations, just like a previous caller talking about earlier generations and their challenges, that those are stories that need to be told. I think one thing that will be there'll be an incredible archive of information, because I think with Facebook and Twitter and people have expressed themselves so much in such a public way that I think that story will be something that will be fascinating to gather. But the resources are certainly there. But, you know, I would definitely love to see that.
All right. A tweet here from Sam. He says he's a school board member in Gray, New Gloucester. He says, I feel sorry for these kids, sure, but my experience has been that these seniors and high schoolers in general have been incredibly resilient and thoughtful. And Susan on Facebook, the high school students in my family are resilient. They're having to change their summer jobs, consider gap years before college, and have generally had their plans messed up, but they are busy making alternative plans. Raina, are you guys getting tired of the word resilient yet?
I think, I think it's true. We're all kind of going through this, and we have to find ways to make it work for us. And I think if I were to give, like, a piece of advice to adults when dealing with kind of the situation with high school students, it would be to recognize that this is really a unique situation, and the problems that we're facing are very real. A lot of us are essential workers. A lot of us are having our lives fundamentally changed by this. And so I think that recognizing and respecting that and realizing that we are truly going to be more resilient from this, and this will change our lives. It will change our lives forever. So I think it's definitely important. And yeah, I think it should be recognized by adults, and they should be kind of supporting us in this unprecedented time.
All right. I'm going to go to Peggy in Portland. Hi, Peggy. Go ahead.
Hi. I was really touched by, Mr. Leach's appreciation of the history. And I was a nurse in Vietnam, and I was on a Zoom call on Memorial Day with hundreds of other veterans, Vietnam veterans, Korean veterans, telling their stories about their high school friends who didn't come home, and you know, them being there at age 17 and 18. And I think the whole time I was on that call, I just wished so much there were young people listening to these stories. You know, it's just like, I know that all these seniors will be more resilient from this, but I think that the history of what has happened to so many young people before is also very important, and for kids to know that and to hear it. So thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Peggy, thank you for calling. Raina or Adam, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I think the history is important, and I think there are certainly things that have happened to society that have kind of struck a similar level of tragedy as this. I do think it's important to recognize that. I also think it's important to recognize that we're living history right now, and you can't kind of ignore that. I think we have to be present in it, and I think we have to recognize what's happening. And I think there is much to be learned from history, but I also think there's a lot to be learned from what's right in front of us.
Adam?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, that was very well said, Raina. And it goes back to what I said about it being a multicultural understanding. You know, we do need to rely upon older generations for help, but at the same time, these high school students are amazing, and they are living through their epic moment. And there's a lot of similarities and a lot of crossovers, but they are different and unique. And so, you know, I look forward to hearing people like the callers to say, you know, and without judgment, what is it that you know that could help young people today get through some of the challenges that they're experiencing in the moment?
Adam, I want to ask you, we've spent a lot of time during this hour speaking with young people who are on their way to college, but, you know, there are many young people who were hoping to enter the workforce right now, looking to get that first job. Do you have any of those students, and what kind of guidance are you giving them and giving their families right now?
As a matter of fact, I have one living with me. My son is a current college senior. And he's slated to graduate from George Washington in December, and so he's in a similar boat as these high school seniors. And what is the next chapter of their life? And the same advice applies to him. It's you open as many doors as you can, keep options open as long as you can. You know, his plan was to enter directly into the workforce upon graduation, and. But that may have to morph into graduate school, and it may just take on a different look than what he expected. But keeping as many options open for as long as possible. When you heard Commissioner Macon talking about the decision making that they're going through, you know, kind of on the macro scale, they can't answer all of the questions immediately, so you have to be prepared as the answers come along. So. Yeah, you know, everybody at every individual step along the road is facing a little bit of a different decision at the given moment.
Mm. And finally, we just have a little bit of time left, Adam. I wanted to ask you, do you believe the whole nature of high school is going to be fundamentally changed by this? When we do get back to normal, will normal be different?
I hope it's not too different. You know, there are certain things that we could definitely learn from the remote learning experience, things like how we handle snow days and that sort of thing, and how we handle credit recovery and, you know, how we handle enrichment programs, things that may happen in the summer. I think there's a lot of possibilities that we're kind of open to now. But generally speaking, a high school is a good time of life for the students. That's why I'm still there 27 years later, right? it's a wonderful experience, and there's so many good things that happen. And that one-to-one, face-to-face experience is irreplaceable. So I hope we can tweak school a little bit, maybe make it a little bit better, but I hope the core concept doesn't really change that much.
Well, thank you both for being with us for the hour. That was Adam Leach, a teacher and director of guidance at Bangor High School. And Raina Poulin serves on the Department of Education's student. I keep forgetting the name of it, Raina. Your student.
Student cabinet.
Student cabinet. Okay, I'll remember now that we're going off the air. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Maine Calling's produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Stay with Maine Public for the latest update from CDC Director Nirav Shah. He's joined by Governor Mills today. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling.